Hello, everybody. This is episode 26 of the ClapperCast. I'm Burke.
And I'm Sean.
And it is October 28th, 2019. So we had the outdoor game a couple days ago. Did you know about
Yeah, I
that?
totally knew about that more than 3 hours before it started.
Yeah, it was kind of snuck under the radar a bit there, hey?
Snuck under the radar is putting it lightly. I have no idea how nobody knew about that and why that wasn't being pushed anywhere.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool one. Jets versus the Flames, with both wearing some beautiful vintage jerseys.
It was a really like what year is it moment watching that game.
Yeah, you made a great joke. It was a great moment for Atlanta sports.
Yes, because the Atlanta Thrashers versus the Atlanta Flames, basically.
Yeah, it was a great moment for all of Georgia.
Yes,
It was pretty
officially
cool though.
proud.
Held in the in-between province of Saskatchewan. I think it was it in Regina?
It was in Regina. It's Mosaic Stadium.
Yeah, where the Rough Riders play, right?
Yes, the Saskatchewan
Yeah.
Rough Riders, to clarify.
It was pretty cool. It was like a very snowy vibe, cold.
I think that was the coolest part of watching the game is all the snow, the way the snow effect on flew across the camera.
Yeah, that was like that one of the first Winter Classics when it was the Wings versus the Maple Leafs, and it was really snowy. It was really cool, super like retro vibe to it. So anyway, the actual game, Jets ended up winning 2-1 in overtime. Brian Little got his first of the year on a pretty sick dish from Kyle Connor in overtime.
I
It was
think that
pretty
was his
nice
first
goal.
game too, right? Or had he played a couple?
I think it might have been his first game. I'm not 100% sure, but I know he was out for quite a few games. So kind of cool for him to get that. But
Definitely.
so that was pretty exciting. But the real story of that game was an Adam Lowry hit on Shillington. He
We
got a
now know that
minor.
Lowry is suspended for two
Yeah.
games. You said he got a minor on the play?
Yes, he got a minor for boarding. So what did you think about that suspension?
I think it's actually a good suspension.
Yeah, me too.
Honestly, you watch the hit and he just goes straight in. Like this wasn't a case where Shillington like turns around last second. He was facing the exact direction the entire time he came around the boards, and Lowry just glides right into him. And there's no it that hit was totally unnecessary, so I'm quite fine with him getting suspended for it.
Yeah, and it was a case where Shillington he was like faced one way because he was trying to like deflect another hit, right? From I don't know who it was, somebody else on the Jets, but he didn't really have any time to defend himself from Lowry, you know, like just the way he was angled. It wasn't a case of a guy
Exactly.
like putting himself in a bad situation. It was just a guy deflecting off a hit and then being hit again. So it was
And I
just
think
a
the worst part, because I'm watching it a little bit right now too. The hit itself, like the board, the contact is pretty high as well, because it's up in that shoulder head area that Lowry contacts Shillington with.
Yeah.
And that's kind of
Yes.
where he drops.
Yeah, so just a bit of a reckless play. So I'm down with the 2-game suspension. I think they kind of got it right on the they hit the nail right on the head on that one.
I believe so.
So Shillington's okay. I don't know if he left the game or not, but hopefully he's okay. And then a pretty big loss for the St. Louis Blues. We found out today that Tarasenko is he had an injury in his left shoulder, and he's going to need surgery on it. So he's going to be out for 5 months.
That's just a that came out of nowhere, to be honest. I was not expecting to see that this morning.
No, I know he was hurt, but I didn't know it was that bad.
For sure. So that's a huge loss for St. Louis's offensive potential over the entirety of the rest of the season, because he's not really going to be back until April, and even then it's going to take a little bit before he's back in game shape.
Pretty significant loss for them. Pretty rough. And then that's some
But
other news that came out. Sorry, go ahead.
oh, I was just going to say, so, luckily for them anyways, Perron has been on fire so far.
He has
So,
been a beast.
and Braden Schenn and Jaden Schwartz have also been really good as well. They've been producing much higher than they did at a much higher rate than they did last season to help combat the loss a little bit. And then they've also got Robert Thomas and Robbie Fabry, who haven't started the year particularly well, but they're going to be probably getting chances in a bigger role. And same thing with Sammy Blais whenever he comes back.
Yeah, Sammy Blais was playing unreal. I think Robert Thomas was hurt for a bit of the season already. If I'm not mistaken, I think he missed a couple games with like an upper body injury or something. But yeah, he was an absolute beast in playoffs. So I think they'll have an opportunity to step in to contribute offensively in the lack of Tarasenko for sure.
For sure.
And you mentioned Shen producing. That's good for St. Louis because he, to many people, got a little bit overpaid. So it's good to have him contributing more, you know, than his career average.
Yes, yeah. Especially because he kind of had that one really, really good year where he put up like 60, 70 points, and then he kind of fell back to his career trajectory around like 50, 60. So to see him producing at a rate that's going to put him back up in around the 70-point range is going to be, it's good for A to make him live up to that contract he got, but also just for the promise of St. Louis's offense over the next few years.
With Tarasenko out, there's definitely going to be, you know, some offense missing. So if they can step up and contribute more night to night, that'll be great for that team.
Definitely.
So another piece of news that kind of came out of nowhere, just like that one, is Gino, Evgeny Malkin, got a little bit of trouble today when came out that an investment that he had made turned out to be a scam. It's a cryptocurrency company that got busted, and his name's like on a bunch of the papers. So we'll see how that develops. He's having a bit of a rough year so far. So I think, you know,
Yeah, that's there's a lot there's a lot
it's
going on for him.
yeah.
So we'll see over the next weeks or months, probably, with it being a legal thing, kind of what
Yeah.
comes out of this.
Details are pretty shaky right now. I think a lot of it's like in Russian, so we'll see what comes of it. But it's something to keep an eye on because Malkin is hurt right now, and he's getting into this off ice issues. So when he does come back, you know, is he gonna be in the right headspace? Because mad Malkin can be a force to be reckoned with. So we'll see what happens out of that. Moving on, I quickly wanted to mention the Washington Capitals and their comeback against Vancouver. Did you watch that game?
I didn't see the game. I just kind of followed along online, and I was kind of taken aback when I saw the game that it looked like the Washington was getting blown out in, and suddenly they won, and I was kind of like, "What just happened here?"
Yeah, so they were down 5-1 in the second period. And they came back to win 6-5 in a shootout. So that's pretty crazy.
And after Washington blew a 3-1 lead the night before in Edmonton, that's a pretty big morale booster.
Definitely. Kempany had 2 goals. Team just kinda
Clutch. He had the
came in
tie
clutch.
the last two as well. So big time
Yeah.
clutch in the last like 5, 6 minutes of the game or something.
Yeah, it was huge. Huge morale boost for the Caps, and on the other hand, huge morale loss for the Canucks. That's a rough one. You know, you shouldn't give up a 4-goal lead. I know Leafs fans are, you know, just triggered right now, but it's pretty brutal. So they're a young team though, so I think that sort of stuff can happen. They're still looking pretty
Canada
good out
will.
there.
Didn't they a few games previously, didn't they just like have a 5-goal third period to come back against Detroit?
Oh, probably. I know
Something like
Horvat got
that.
a hat trick in the third period,
Yeah.
so probably.
I think that was that game. So
Yeah.
the highs and the lows there.
Yeah, definitely. You know, swinging between the peaks and valleys for sure.
No plateaus here, we're just going top and bottom.
No, definitely. You never know which team is going to show up. Is it the good team or the absolute garbage team? who knows? Keep the fans on their seats, right? Or on the edge
Exactly.
of their seats.
It's a reason to tune in. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Next up, I wanted to mention Pastrnak on the Bruins. He is having an unreal start to the season. I didn't even know how good of a season he was having. I heard about like the 4-goal game, but aside from that, I didn't know he was just like on fire. But
He's
he's got
absolutely
23
lighting it,
points in his first 11 games.
which that's insane. And their most recent game, he actually just had 5 assists as well.
That is ridiculous. Five
Like, he's a
assists.
sniper too. Yeah, according to
Wow.
this Hockey Reference page.
I wonder who the
I
last
didn't
person to
actually
get
realize that.
five assists in a game was.
Probably McDavid.
Probably, or Crosby.
Yeah. I feel like
Yeah.
someone did it last season, but I can't remember who.
I don't know. Sam Gagner?
No, we're still waiting for his 8-point game this year.
It'll come. It'll come.
It'll come. Yep.
One other person, we're talking about peaks and valleys. Carter Hart, he's experiencing a valley of his own right now. He's had a rough last three games. He's let up 12 goals on 43 shots. That's pretty gross stat line.
That's Jonathan Quick level right there.
Yeah, he got pulled in two of his last three. He let in 5 goals on 14 shots against the Islanders, three goals on 15 shots against the Stars, and 4 goals on 14 shots against the Oilers.
So, I mean, he's a really, really young goalie, and it's incredibly unusual for a 20, 21-year-old to make it to the NHL in net. So, he's probably still learning, and I think there's also going to be a big factor of the teams now have had a season and a summer to watch game tape on him. So they know where the weaknesses are. They know where to tell the players to shoot. So that's going to be a huge factor, and it's just sophomore rookie development curves. You never know kind of what's going to happen year to year, right?
Yeah, I mean, how many times do you see a rookie goalie come in and just light up the league because there's no scouting on him?
Yeah, remember Andrew Raycroft?
Yeah, I mean, Matt Murray did that. Holtby
Yeah.
did that. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty common. And then sophomore slump is real. I think it's happened to every goalie.
So we saw last season what Carter's capable of, and I feel like, you probably let him ride out the next year or two while he figures it out in the NHL and adjusts to this play. But I can't see why he wouldn't be a decent goalie at some point.
No. I think for now you just gotta kinda, protect him and not let his mental game get damaged too much.
Definitely.
Because he's kinda lost a bit of his job to Brian Elliott. Elliott's been playing a lot of games lately. And he's been playing well. I think he had one kind of subpar game, Elliott, but aside from that, he's been playing pretty good.
Which, I mean, who would have expected that
Yeah, I know.
from Elliot at this point?
I gotta own up because last podcast I said I didn't think Hart was gonna lose his job to Elliott anytime soon, but it looks like he kinda is.
For now,
So,
yeah. That's.
it's kind of funny. But yeah, I think Philly's kinda got some deeper problems than Carter Hart because I haven't watched every single game, but I know that in that Edmonton game at least, not every goal was Hart's fault. He kind of got hung to dry a little bit on some of those goals.
For sure.
And Philly's defense needs some work for sure. And you got to get some run support too. So
Yeah, so
it's tough for Hart.
they're having a difficult-ish start to the season. It's not like terrible, but they kind of look like they're going to be in that high risk, high reward type style. Because they're sitting at 35 goals for and 31 goals against in 10 games. So there's a lot of goals in their games. They're still somehow scoring more than they're giving up, which is pretty good when they're playing with a goalie who's not in his best right now.
They've got time to turn it around, but they've got to do something quick here because, the teams are slowly separating themselves out. between the bottom of the pile and the top. So I think Vigneault has got his work cut out for him to try and get something going here for the boys. I know I was pretty high on Carter Hart going into the season, and I had him on my fantasy team, and I've recently dropped him, but I feel like he's definitely got the potential to turn it around. It's just for now, I don't know how many starts he's going to have, because like I said, that mental game is super important. And, you know, we've seen it a lot with goalies that they have to get like sports psychologists and stuff to try and get their game back.
You can see the impact of it on the ice, like watching Cam Talbot last season.
Mm-hmm.
At times when there were games where every single time the guy made a save, he'd look behind him like it went in.
Yeah.
And you can just, like, it hurts to watch when the guy's got no confidence in his game, and it's like,
mm-hmm.
you can tell, like, how important the mindset is going into it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I know I just mentioned him a lot, but, like, Holtby had a lot of confidence issues and had a sports psychologist and got his game back and gone from struggling to winning the cup. I mean, he didn't even start in playoffs. That's how shaky of a year he had when they won the cup, and then he got it back. So it's confidence is a fickle thing. It comes and goes. So I think Hart definitely has the potential still to be a top goalie in the league. It's just, you know, early on, he's only 21, so
for sure.
Yeah. Did you want to move on to the Islanders a little bit?
Yeah, let's mention them. They're having a really good stretch right now.
Yeah. They've won 7 in a row. It's pretty.
So after their sluggish start, they are absolutely turning it on now.
Yeah. I don't know what the type of competition that they've had lately has been. I know they recently played the Flyers. I think they played them yesterday. But they played like Ottawa, Columbus recently. So questionable teams, but they've also beaten like the Blues, Panthers, Hurricanes. So yeah, they're on a hot streak. It was kind of fun. Trotz had a comment because I think the game against the Senators got a little bit rough, and the Senators were targeting some of the skilled players on the Islanders, and Trotz came out and said that we're going to have a long memory when we play them again. It's kind of fun.
If I'm Ottawa, I'm sitting there like, is that a threat?
Yeah, I think it's 100% a threat.
good thing Sabourin's still on the team.
Yeah. Top sniper. Yeah, so they're doing well. It's cool. I think it's fun to see the Islanders doing well, because you know people were kind of wondering what was going to happen with them losing Leonard and having a bit of a question mark in net with Varlamov and Grace as a combo. But
it was going to be a very good test to see if the goalie was this catalyst or the product of the system.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's showing to be that the goalie is a big part of the system.
Yeah, Varlamov's been playing pretty good. I think he's had one rough game in that Oilers game. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, he let up like 4 and like
5.
Okay, yeah. So, but otherwise, he's got a 2.53 goals against average and a 918 save percentage this season.
Yeah. So. And in this 7-game win streak, they're averaging 2 goals against per game. Mm-hmm. 5 of the games they gave up 2 goals. The only one they gave up 3 in was the most recent one against Philly.
Right. Okay.
And that is very top end defense and goaltending right now.
Yeah. So last year they were the best defensive team, and it looks like they're keeping up on that.
For the most part.
Team-wide defense, yeah, it's good.
I mean, they're also only they're giving up probably in the high 20 shots per game, which is kind of low end for the league.
Yeah, I think another team that's kind of in a similar play style is Arizona. They've been I don't know if it's still true, but at one point a couple games ago they had not let in more than 2 goals in a game, Which isn't like a crazy stat, but when you consider the amount of scoring in the league now, it's pretty impressive.
Oh, for sure.
And Arizona has never really been known as like a defensive stalwart team, so I thought that was pretty cool to see that. What's the coach, Tockett?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, is their coaches talk it right? Because they've
Yeah.
he's come in the last couple seasons and done a pretty damn good job at bringing a very, very strong system to that organization.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, so it's cool.
even last season when they were dealing with all those injuries, they didn't have like any real star power on the team, and they were still staying competitive and even in the playoff race until the late parts of the season because of how strong their system was, because of the goaltending they were getting. And everything was just working. Like they had that scoring by committee thing where just everybody was contributing what they needed to.
Yeah, they really had some injury problems. It just plagued their season. And you're right, they still were hanging in there for a long time. They had a lot of guys chipping in where they could, and it seemed like every player who suited up for them got like cursed by fucking injury goblins, but they hung in there. I think if they have their players stay healthy for long stretches of the season, they could sneak into playoffs for sure.
Easily, easily.
Yeah.
The way they're playing right now, yeah, easily they can find their way in. Even though the Pacific is an absolute nightmare right now, if their guys stay healthy, and it looks like the main parts of the lineup have been playing every game so far. There's just a handful. Obviously, Hjalmarsson's a major injury, and I think there's a couple depth players been injured, and Ranta had been injured for a decent chunk of the season so far. But overall, they've got a pretty healthy lineup in comparison.
Yeah, I mean, anything beats last season.
Exactly.
And I know you wanted to talk about the Leafs.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up the Leafs just because they've been noticeably struggling this season. Which, like, struggling for them, I should say. They're still doing okay as a team. They're sitting in a second wild card spot right now. But compared to how they've been or how they were playing in the last few seasons, it's watching them on the ice is a bit of a painful experience.
Yeah, they're
So,
giving up lots of shots and lots of goals.
yeah. Well, they're sitting at, yeah, they're second in goals for and against. Most, I should say, to specify. But,
Yeah.
no, you kind of see you. We saw a whole bunch of roster turnover last summer, and it was a lot of the depth players. And what I was just thinking about is I'm wondering how Dubas is building that team because of how highly they seem to be valuing the star players, like the Matthews and Marner especially, and how they're so willing to like oh I want to say overpay for them now because they know how non-replaceable those guys are. When you're looking at more than just like a like an advanced stat like expected goals and goals against goals above replacement, you're not going to replace what those guys can bring. But a lot of the lower lineup guys are, you look at the numbers for them, and there's probably 20 or 30 others who can give you exactly what they're doing or exactly what any of them can do. So a lot of those guys become expendable, but that really seems to negate the impact of like the veteran leadership, the role players, the physicality, and the type of stuff that those guys like Komarov and Matt Martin brought to their lineup. And from the
Grit.
sounds of it, exactly. From the sounds of it, that is one of the things that this lineup is missing is that presence, that physical presence to bring them into the game, to get some momentum shifting. And you kind of look at Mike Babcock when he was in Detroit, how defensively strong that lineup was. And that's a very strong conflict with what Dubas is building in Toronto with the focus on offense. So you've got Babcock who's going to be trying to do his thing defensively, but it's just not working because he's got a skilled offensive team. And there's just a big mismatch between the two right now and what the team is and what the coach is trying to do, I imagine. So they
Yeah.
might be looking for some changes here to kind of reevaluate how they're building that roster.
Yeah, you see that with I think that's best exemplified by Tyson Barrie coming in, because he was brought in and everybody thought he was going to be on the number one power play, Kind of offensive specialist D-man. And you're right, Babcock is more like a defensive guy. And currently they're not playing Barry on that number one power play. So he's functioning as like a kind of all-around D-man. And he's struggling. He's doing not great.
He's it's not a system or a position he's going to be able to flourish in, so it's kind of a hard one.
Yeah. And I saw a play. I don't remember which game, so I have to beg pardon on that. But Barry got hit, and it was like a questionable hit, and nobody stood up for him. There's nobody on that team. I think we've mentioned this before. I think maybe with the Kadri trade. There's nobody really on that team who will step up for anybody. I mean,
No.
who's the next guy? Hyman? He's out of the lineup right now. But is that a guy who would stand up for anybody on out there? Like
I
Muzzin?
don't know if he I
Not
don't know if he's
really.
that type of player. Like he's a physical player, but I don't know if he's that type of physical player. I imagine he
Yeah.
would.
I mean, you could say.
But yeah, I mean, I'm going like looking through their roster, it's like Trevor Moore. He's not really that type of guy.
Yeah, you can argue all day long that like
That's
there's less fighting in the league, and that's a good thing. But at the end of the day, there's still a place for physicality and
Yeah, and physicality goes beyond
toughness.
fighting because it doesn't have to be a fight after a questionable hit. It can also just be a guy going in and letting the pity know that that's not going to happen again.
Yeah, I mean, look at guys like Tom Wilson, Ryan Reeves, I don't know who else, but
Yeah, well, they don't even have to fight. They will.
Max Domi, like just guys who like you're aware of when they're on the ice, so you don't pull any stupid shit because you know that they'll be there to make you pay for it.
This was
So
a major issue from like 2010 to 2014 in Edmonton, with nobody on the team who would stand up for players getting hit. So you'd have all the opponents taking liberties on Taylor Hall and Nugent Hopkins at the time, and
Yeah.
nobody would really stand up for them. And it just became a running joke that it was just like standing at the bus stop. That's everyone's just kind of standing there with their hands in their pockets waiting. But the impact of still not having a type of guy like, well, like a Kadri, like a Komarov, like a Martin, like a Connor Brown, all those guys who are gonna like physically engage in the game is does a hor does a huge amount for the momentum shifting towards you guys, and for just having that team and that chemistry building element on the ice.
Yeah, I got two things. One is look at St. Louis, how they won the cup last year. It's basically a team full of that type of player. They've got some skilled guys, but they're not afraid to hit, like Tarasenko, Ryan O'Reilly. You know, he plays a really clean game, but he's not afraid to get into the corners and stuff. And then the second thing is, you mentioned Edmonton and like that lack of that physical presence. Is look at the Canucks last season with Gudbranson. There was a lot of frustration with his inability to get involved and defend players like Pettersson or Besser, and those players were targeted heavily, or like Berchi. And there's
They
a
were
lot of
getting
people
rocked
who
all year.
think, yeah, they're getting rocked all year, and Gudbranson would not do anything. He was brought there to be that physical guy, and he's known for that. I mean, he basically ended Erat's career with that hit. He's a big physical guy, and he didn't get involved, and he was traded to Pittsburgh, and then he did do that role. So a lot of people in Vancouver thought like, well, what the fuck? You didn't do that at all for us, and our players are, you know, young and rookies. So it's, and then you look at the guys that the Canucks brought in. Michael Ferland, you know, Miller, guys who can mix it up and aren't afraid
Antoine
to,
Roussel, Tyler
yeah,
Myers.
Marcel. Yeah, so some
Yeah, so
big
all
guys who
these
can.
big physical players. So they
So
clearly noticed it.
yeah,
Now,
you know, they're
the
tired of their
important thing, I
players missing
guess, is
games.
that, yeah, exactly. I see what Dubas is doing because obviously scoring goals wins games. So if he's looking at some like very analytic strong number to, score more goals than the opponent, basically, he's probably doing an all right job, but that doesn't really work in the playoffs either, as we saw last year with like Tampa Bay, and we saw what they did this offseason. recognizing that they need a bit more physicality and grit to get through teams that play physical like Columbus.
Yeah.
So even, I mean, we've seen it with Toronto the last 2 years in the playoffs too. Even if they're physically or they're skill-wise stronger than the opponent, or they're doing really well, the more physical team is going to just shut you down in the postseason. Playoff hockey is a different breed.
Yeah, I mean that's how Columbus beat Tampa. That's how Washington ended up beating Tampa. The guys on
That's how
Toronto
Vegas wins.
Yeah, the guys on Toronto who could maybe play that type of game is like Frederick Gauthier. I don't know who else.
I look through their lineup. I don't see anybody really.
Yeah.
Nobody noteworthy.
Yeah, so there's the guys like Nola Achari. Those are the type of guys who play that game and in playoffs, those are huge. And I don't think adding more smaller forwards or skilled guys is going to get them over that hump because your problem isn't a scoring one because you have, a heavy top six with, Matthews, Nylander, Johnsson, Tavares, Marner. You don't need more skilled guys. It seemed questionable like bringing Jason Spezza in as a like third or fourth line guy because he's not really that type of player. So I can
No,
see
he's
now
not.
looking back on the whole Babs scratching him. Makes sense because maybe that's not the type of player he wants in that role. He wants
Exactly.
more of a like who's a guy he had in Detroit, like Darren Helm, like
Remember back
Abdelkader,
then.
those type
Like
of guys.
Franzen too, right?
Yeah.
Just.
Yeah, those big guys, you can play some energy minutes and
Yeah.
get the boys going when the skilled guys are struggling. You don't need more skilled guys to try and score to overcome that. It's just, energy guys. So
It's literally you're do you remember did you ever watch or read Moneyball?
I have never seen
Where
it
it's
or
like,
read it. I
okay,
know
I
what it
think
is.
if I remember the main principle correctly, it's basically you can give up however many runs you want, but as long as you bring in enough players to outscore your defense, basically. Where it's like you're not looking at players as like individuals. It's basically like how many runs are you going to score, or like how many, what's your like on base percentage, and how many runs are you going to score.
So
And
focusing
it
on
just seems
one
very, yeah,
part
very
of the
like
game.
one part. Yes.
So like if
It's
we
like,
can
oh, we don't
out
need
bat
defense or
you.
physicality or whatever. We'll just like
Yeah.
outscore our problems.
Yeah, I mean this is like the 2009, 2010 Capitals. Just who cares about goaltending and defense, just score goals. That's the simple
No back check,
equation.
only score.
Yeah. Yeah, so they have their struggles for sure. And Tavares coming back, will definitely help them, I think, settle down in some games, like not give
Yeah, I
up
think
some of their
Tavares is pretty
leads.
responsible all over the place.
But that doesn't solve their defense issues. We'll hear about that all season long.
Oh, for
Toronto
sure.
being Toronto. So yeah, did we mention Buffalo
You'd
at all?
not yet. Let's talk
Okay.
about them. It's pretty fun.
I always like including Buffalo when we mention Toronto.
Just to balance it out a bit.
Yeah, so they're doing really well still. They're the number one team in the league, which is pretty cool. They're still surprising. They are on a 7-2-1 streak in their last 10. So they're good.
That's top end. Watching their most recent game against Arizona, yeah, they got outshot heavily, but they were still fun to watch. They play a really really unique style right now. That's just kind of energetic, fun to watch.
Yeah, I like
Very quick
watching them.
attack.
Yeah, Eichel is fun to watch. He's very creative with the puck, and doing some fun things. Like it's just quick puck movement.
Creativity too.
Yeah, and their power play is really good too. Haven't watched their last game, but they were pretty darn effective when I was watching them.
In this game right now that just ended, they got a power play and right off the initial faceoff, passed it to Eichel, who scored immediately, like 5 seconds maybe.
Wow.
So yes, they have a good power play.
I wonder if there's some
To
sort
confirm your
of, I
statement.
wonder if there's some sort of stat to check like on goals scored on the power play, like how early on they are in the power play.
Right.
Like that would be kind of fun to
That'd be a
see
good
like
one.
who scores early in a power play. Like I don't know what it would really tell
How
you,
many
but
times do players score off the initial face-off?
yeah. How good are they on the draw?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much everything I had on my list. I guess quickly mention Perlini requested a trade from Chicago, and he actually was traded today to Detroit.
Let me get the guy's name. He's a prospect. He's a prospect defender.
Alec Regula?
Okay, yeah, that was it. Yeah, so he's basically just a prospect defender. I think he was playing with London in the
Yeah.
OHL. He's not a very flashy guy. What I've heard is that he was kind of the defensive side of Evan Bouchard's pairing.
Huh.
Kind of one of those guys.
I see. Okay.
So he's not very he's not going to be the most flashy guy. He's not going to stand out on any prospect list probably. But if he's able to do that at the in the OHL, it's a pretty high scoring league, so he's probably going to do all right developing up in through Chicago, especially if he can still come up with Keith and Seabrook on the team to kind of transition him a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, Seabrook's been getting healthy scratched again,
He is.
which is.
I realize he's not exactly in the greatest point of his playing career, but his experience and leadership would be excellent for a young defender,
Yeah.
regardless of where he's playing that night.
I think you're right on that one. Yeah. Is there any other topics that you wanted to cover?
Wanted to very quickly make fun of Paul Fenton again by talking about how the Wild have reportedly made Kevin Fiala, Ryan Donato, and Joel Eriksson Ek available for trade. So Fiala and Donato were two of Fenton's acquisitions last season.
Wow.
They have both not been very good. Fiala was injured and then he got a healthy scratch for a game, but he hasn't really done a whole lot. Donato, I'm kind of surprised he hasn't fit in Minnesota. I feel like his play style, it's a heavy shooting play style that he would have been a bit of an offensive boost for the team, but he hasn't been able to find his game either. And Eriksson Ek was a draft pick years back in 2015. Not Fenton's fault, but he's also kind of stalled in his development and hasn't really been able to take that next step, and he's been passed over in the depth charts by notably Luke Kunin.
The only thing I've really heard about Eriksson Ek this season is I saw a video where he blocked three Shea Weber shots on the same shift
Yeah, and
in a
I
game
think
while we're losing.
So, that's a pretty good sign anyways that he's still like in the game.
Kids got heart.
Exactly. I think his offensive side may be not really there, but he seems to be developing into an okay-ish two-way forward.
Leafs, get on it.
Kind of a yeah, no doubt. I don't know if he's physical enough though.
The savior.
Imagine if they had players like Nazem Kadri, Connor Brown, Leo Komarov, and Matt Martin on the team.
Wow.
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 To go right back to the Leafs.
I think that's about it. Unless there's any other last minute things that you wanted to go over.
That'll wrap it up for this week. So once again, thank you all for listening. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Clappercast Media and on Twitter at Clappercast. And there you will find any updates through the week on random hockey content, as well as anything that we upload, podcasts and blog posts will be updated there. So thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time.